You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to the Civic Media Spotlight. We begin with Daybreak with Jamie and Brian. In this segment, they do Fact or Fiction, State of the Union edition. Senior producer Frank plays clips from the president's State of the Union address, then Jamie and Brian guess whether or not the president's statements were true. Although the segment has plenty of fictional statements from Trump, there were some surprising truths as well.
And here we go, the much anticipated fact following Donald Trump's State of the Union address last night, which I, unfortunately for this job, had to stay up and watch.
Thank you, Frank.
I only watched an hour. I'm going to be honest. That's all I could take.
That checks.
That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more.
I checked out the highlight reel for the rest of it. So I feel like I didn't miss a whole
there
lot.
There was a highlight reel? Wow.
If you got the first, if you got the first hour, just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing I was looking for was, one, how are you going to spin the economy? And how is the U.S. men's hockey team going to handle this and how it was handled with them coming out? I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but that's what I was looking for. And Jamie made me stay up and cut stuff. So here we go. Fact or fiction. Like I said, we listened to the State of the Union address. I'm going to play some clips from it. Brian and Jamie will have to decide whether it was fact or if it was fiction, and we'll break it all down. Let's start with clip number one.
The Biden administration and its allies in Congress gave us the worst inflation in the history of our country. But in 12 months, my administration has driven core inflation down to the lowest level in more than 5 years. And in the last 3 months of 2025, it was down to 1.7%.
Was that fact or was it fiction?
See, here's the problem. There might be one word of fact in a long statement. So do we then, Jamie, make the choice? Is the whole statement fact? Or I think one word doesn't make a whole statement fact. I am going to stick with fiction, even though I know that, Frank, you're probably going to say the word core or something is what makes it somewhat a fact. Jamie?
I am also going to say that this is fiction, but I agree. There's a couple things in there that would be on the partial side of fact. But fiction. That's our final answer.
Pure fiction.
It is fiction. We're going to chalk this up as pure fiction. So I know we've said this before on this game, if you listen to our other ones, but this point needs to be hammered home. This is not the story of inflation. Yes, numbers peaked around 9% while the country was recovering from COVID during Biden's administration. However, that number lowered to 3% when Trump took office. Since then, it has ebbed and flowed between about 2.3 and 3.1%. The number stood at 2.39%. last month. So no, he did not inherit the worst economy and inflation from the Biden administration. In fact, the number actually went higher than when he took it over midway through the year.
All right.
I just like that we started with an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
It is an oldie but a goodie.
And feel free to play along at home and wager amongst yourselves because fact or fiction is always fun.
Yes.
Is it...
Yeah, it's fun for us. I mean, we're covering things that aren't fun. It's fun to play.
That's right.
Brian, I like that you brought up the nuanced part of this. I think that's going to be a theme throughout this.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So we're not. Let me ask a clarification for the judges, please. Are we ignoring nuance and going for the entire statement as more of the fact or fiction, or should we take nuance in general into account?
The core of the statement.
Okay.
Core of the statement. Okay.
All right.
We're going to the core of the statement.
All right. We need our rules. Okay. Here we go.
In the past 9 months, zero illegal aliens have been admitted to the United States.
I'm sorry. Was that out loud? I'm going to go with fiction.
Fiction. Fiction is the answer.
That's the fact, Jack.
Oh!
Zero.
It's both. And here, this is, again, it is very nuanced.
Okay.
Oh,
give us the nuance.
Let me explain this to you.
Please.
What he was referring to, it is a fact that the Border Patrol abandoned the catch and release practice while apprehending immigrants. So in that respect, it is true. They didn't catch anybody and let them go like they did under previous administrations.
Uh-huh.
However, it is complete fiction to interpret this statement as no immigrants escaped capture and entered the U.S. The number of gotaways is not a figure that is measured. As you probably could have guessed.
So it's one of those partially fact statements.
And which is why we're breaking it down, because it's important for people to really zoom in and try to understand what he's trying to say.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
Yes. Well, that's the hope anyway.
No catch and release.
Okay.
So everybody apprehended is tried and detained on site. However,
but
to see that
have been
nobody
admitted.
Has entered this country illegally is absolutely insane and false.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Next.
Gasoline, which reached a peak of over $6 a gallon in some states under my predecessor, it was quite honestly a disaster, is now below $2.30 a gallon in most states. And in some places, $1.99 a gallon. And when I visited the great state of Iowa just a few weeks ago, I even saw $1.85 a gallon for gasoline.
Fact
fiction? Jamie, you go first.
This one is hard because in some places it was very expensive, but it never reached a dollar whatever or 80 something in Iowa. So I'm going to say fiction.
I'm going to say fiction just because AAA never backs up his gas numbers. And I know even though gas is going down, it's not down that much.
Right.
Pure fiction.
Okay, so we're going to mark this one as fiction on grounds of misleading. So they have declined from a national average of $3.12 per gallon on his inauguration day, January of last year, according to AAA, to a national average of $2.95 per gallon yesterday. Okay. However, the average price for a gallon of regular gas in Iowa on the day of his January 27th speech was $2.57.
That's a lot more than $1.78 or $1.85.
Right.
I'm an expert on some rural gas station that may or may not have passed. No.
Who may have put the sign up just to placate the president because they love him.
Yes.
They're like, look, Mr. President, we're selling gas for 78 cents.
Here's what I will say, though. Steve Contorno, a reporter from CNN, said that the gas station right outside of the venue where the speech was taking place was $2.63.
So. Reading is hard. It's hard.
Can we be honest? Do you think he looks out the window and takes in anything? He's looking in a mirror. That's all he's looking
at
when he's in a
car. Or he's just looking out the windows at the people waving at him as he goes by and not at anything else around him. Because
the cows aren't waving at me, Frank. I don't want to drive past any more cows. No, but no cow ever applauds me. This is the most boring place ever. How much is gas? A dollar? No, okay.
For those of you just joining us, we are playing Fact or Fiction after Trump's State of the Union address last night. Jamie and Brian will listen to some clips from last night and have to decide whether it is fact or fiction. We're moving on to number four.
Okay.
In 12 months, I secured commitments for more than $18 trillion pouring in from all over the globe.
$18 trillion pouring in from all over the globe. What do we think?
I really want to say fact at some point during this because I don't want the president to spew this many lies, but I don't know. I can't. Fiction. It's pure fiction. That's what I'm going
with.
Well,
we know the number from the tariffs. That's nowhere close to that number. Is he counting the billion per for the Board of Peace? Because that's not 18.
No.
That wouldn't equal 18 trillion. The math ain't mathing. No, he exaggerates everything.
No,
He's not 200 pounds either. I'm going to say fiction.
Pure fiction.
Okay, so with the... I know, there's a recurring theme here.
This show repeats itself incessantly.
And so do these. So do your sounders, Frank.
Yes, they do. So with the data available to us right now, as of last night, the White House's own website said the figure for major investment announcements during his Trump term was $9.7 trillion. So
how long?
Well, short of the 18. And experts believe even that number is greatly exaggerated.
How long before they just take down the White House website because it doesn't match with what he's saying once he figures that out? That's a legitimate question. I mean, once he figures out that what he says isn't matching the facts on the website, how long before that's all altered or just taken down so that he does not look wrong?
You haven't checked the website this morning. They may have gone back and adjusted everything to match what he said last night.
This is very true.
Let me ask you this question, Jamie.
Yes.
Since when do facts matter?
Apparently not to this administration at all.
Jamie, we love your optimism that facts are there. We love it.
I like it.
I don't share it, but I love it.
I try. I mean, if you don't have some optimism that facts and constitutional law still apply, then what the hell do we have left at this point?
And unless you're watching on the stream, you don't know Jamie's glasses have a nice rose tint to them. All right, Frank, let's see what's next. I can only imagine.
And as time goes by, I believe the tariffs paid for by foreign countries will, like in the past, substantially replace the modern day system of income tax, taking a great financial burden off.
This is the easiest game ever.
I like it when I can win.
I do too. And we both get to win.
This
is the youth soccer of games today.
I mean, are we winning though by listening to this some more? No. Fiction. It's fiction.
Fiction. We, the governments don't pay for.
No.
Pure fiction.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Frank, did you have any
facts? This is important.
It is. Give us the fact behind that fiction.
It was, I'm not going to lie. It was really tough. But yes, this is fiction. Tariff payments are made by importers in the U.S., not foreign countries, and those importers often pass on some of their costs to the consumers. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York wrote, "We find that nearly 90% of the tariff's economic burden fell on U.S. firms and consumers."
Fake news. Radical Democrats.
Sometimes we have to say that for this to really rain.
I don't understand how people still don't get it. I really don't. It's not just us. It's everybody who has any sort of knowledge of economics at all. And I have very, very little.
Here's a question for you.
Yes.
Do the Scott Bessents of the world actually buy the garbage that they spew out of their mouth on the cable news shows and at all of these forums? Do they actually know how it works? Or do you think that they buy into whatever he says? Because either way, it's wrong and it's awful because you're lying to the American people about how it really works and placating to a man who obviously has no clue how anything works in this world. Or are you just delusional?
Your question is basically, is it better to be stupid or dishonest?
If
we boil down, that was your question.
Yes.
Is it better to be stupid or dishonest? Part of me wants to say it's better to be stupid, but not when you're leading the Fed.
Right.
Or when you're in a position of authority.
Real dishonest quick.
Yes. Okay, one more.
Real quick, last one.
Rent is lower today than when I took office by a lot.
By a lot?
Fiction.
Fiction.
It's fiction.
That's the fact. Yeah.
Stop it.
Where?
According to Realtor.com's rent report, the median asking price is down 1.5% depending on the metro area. However, my rent has increased greatly, so I don't agree with it, but it's technically.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We continue with Daybreak on the Civic Media Spotlight, where Danny from Oshkosh, a 79-year-old veteran living on Social Security, calls the show to tell us about how difficult it is to be living on $8 an hour through Social Security. Danny tells us about his various struggles and shares that he has written a letter to the president asking that Social Security be raised to a more livable wage for veterans.
It's 8:52 right now. We hope that your morning is going well. A bright and sunshiny day in most of Wisconsin. So hopefully you're enjoying some of that. You are listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. We were talking with State Rep Ahmad Rivera-Wagner about his bill to increase the minimum wage across Wisconsin. 855-75-CIVIC is our number, and that's the number that Danny called from Oshkosh. He's been hanging on. He wants to jump in real quick. Hi, Danny. Welcome to the show.
Well, howdy. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me on. I was hearing your state representative talk about the minimum wage for being increased. I'm all for that. And I wanted to state, though, I'm all for it for a different reason. I'm not a businessman. I'm a veteran. I'm sitting here only on Social Security at 79 years old, where I'm making $8.64 an hour. Which
for
a veteran is just gross. Yes,
that's
gross.
That's unacceptable. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is gross.
You know,
now that that's the pension. So that would go through the U.S. government. It would also go through the VA. Is there a military pension?
That's just Social Security. I haven't navigated pension. And that's not even enough for me to gain some clothes to go ahead and find a job. I'd like to go back. I'd like to be a return to work person. But, you know, like I said to your
producer,
Parker, yeah, mm-hmm. Our producer. Yep.
Yeah. It turned out that I wrote the president and I said, hey, you know what veterans ought to see on their Social Security statement is at least just to get it started is a statement on there saying, hey, here's a cost of living increase for you in addition to your Social Security. At least veterans would get the due respect they deserve.
That's true. And Frank, let me ask you this.
64 cents.
Because, again, that number is unacceptable.
Yes.
When you hear the president then talk about, oh, there's going to be no more tax on Social Security, that's not going to make a big difference to you when you're getting $8.64 an hour.
Yeah, I'm broke after a very short time. I'm being honest with you, I go to the food pantry to get my food twice a month here in Oshkosh. I'm living in Oshkosh, and the amazing thing I might as well put in there is I'm due for a medal in Washington D.C. And once I get around to getting the paperwork going, and here I am still, $8, it doesn't make any difference what the frame of mind I'm in. $8.64 does not go too far.
Danny, we appreciate the call and we appreciate your service. And, the veterans do a lot of times get short shrift for what you have sacrificed. It's sad and unacceptable. Danny, thank you for the call.
Does it bother you, though, that the president tries to relay that he's such a military guy after you hear a call like that?
It angers me.
Yeah.
It disappoints me. It doesn't surprise me. There's nothing genuine about him. Look who he put in charge of the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. There's no respect for the military. The reason he says he respects the military is he wants it big and powerful. Well, guess what? The military was powerful before he became president.
Yes.
He didn't make our military powerful. It's been powerful throughout history. So he doesn't get to take credit for that. The men and women who make up the military get to take credit for that. And for us not to give them a living wage after they've served the country and put their lives on the line, That's not how you treat people who work for you.
And we've seen this time and time again under this president. There's been stripping away of veterans' rights, of VA facilities, of VA doctors, of these pensions. They've whittled away. They've made it harder for them to get medicines and mental health help. And to hear a story like Danny's, man.
Yeah.
Our military deserves so much more, and so do the families.
And I know people will say, well, what about people who didn't serve? Everybody deserves a basic, decent life.
Yeah.
Nobody deserves to have to be struggling and, you know, have to. When Danny says at 79 to think about, I want to go back to work because I can't afford to live. That's not how this country is supposed to be working. And that's not a communist.
No.
Thinking. It's not socialist. It's human. It's empathetic. It's looking at people who have not only served this country, but people who've made it to 79 and are tired. And they should be able to, with their Social Security and pension, to live. They not an affluent lifestyle, but no. They should be able to afford a place to live and something to eat.
Absolutely. And they shouldn't have to be thinking about going back to find a job at 79 years old because the government...
Well, you're
going to
make $7.25 an
right,
hour.
Right, because that's what we pay for minimum wage in this state. And the federal government that should be taking care of, especially our veterans who have done more for this country and put their life on the line in a lot of ways, refuses to give them the services and the care that they need. And then to talk about the fact that he hasn't even been able to get his pension. I mean, come on. Come on. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
We're taking care of the people we love, Jamie, if I may.
No, we're taking care of our billionaires and our big companies. That's what we're
fact
taking care
or
of.
Fiction.
That is fact. Yes. That is fact.
Well, we were going to end on a more upbeat note, but some days you don't get that upbeat. You get Danny, who makes us all think about the way things are and the way things should be, and hopefully spurs us all to try to do a little better and get out there and make our voices heard, make your voice heard, however you want to do that.
Yeah.
And we'll make our voices heard tomorrow.
We'll always make
we
them
know.
Heard.
We're going to make them heard.
Whether or not you're going to listen to us.
Wow. No, everybody will listen. And where should they listen? They should listen right here.
That's
on
right.
The Civic Media Network. She's Jamie Martinson. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak. We'll be back tomorrow, Jamie,
have a good day.
Whether we like it or not.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening.
Bye. Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Nightlight with Pete and Greg. Pete and Greg talk to Tom Tran, a comedian and combat vet, about his personal life experiences.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. I'm Greg, and that's Pete, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Network. So happy you are here with us today. Do not forget, after the 6 o'clock news, we'll be speaking to Martin Alvarado from Madison Library about all the book recommendations coming our way, as well as a talk with Civic Media's very own Mike Clemens. But right now, we are talking to a true Renaissance man right now. We're talking comedy, but it's everything. This next guest, he is a combat vet. He is a rocker. He is a comedian, writer, actor, all the things. Please welcome to the show, Tom Tran. Good afternoon, Tom. Thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. You left out nerd. You left out cat dad. You left out former fat kid. But getting back there. I'm getting back to the...
We only have so much time, Tom. I mean, come on. All these professions, you know.
Absolutely.
God,
well,
if being a fat could be a profession, I go back to find my high school guidance counselor and be like, why did you tell me I could do this?
Well, I feel like they had a TV show about that, The Biggest Loser, where the fat kids could come on and then lose the weight and then become famous. That's how people do it nowadays. You're famous for not being talented. I'm sorry, I said it. Because now I was talking about this with my wife. We'll get to the show in a moment, but I was talking this about my wife. I did not know that reality star is now a cottage industry where people are just like, this person was on this reality show and that one. I'm like, they get to be on more than one? I mean, that's how they become famous. She goes, yeah, they're famous for nothing. I'm like, this is America. It's amazing.
Maybe you know who said this quote, because I can't remember who said it. But it went something along the lines of, people used to be special because they were famous. Humphrey Bogart, Marilyn Monroe, you know, the singers and dancers. But now it's, people are special because they're famous. Like, they don't necessarily have to be good at anything other than, you know,
right.
they don't mind getting punched in the face on MTV. That's whatever. One MTV showed stuff.
It's just it's chasing fame for fame's sake, regardless of talent. Yeah. And many of them aren't. There are some that are talented from the reality world, but it's you're right. It's just like they become a brand. I don't know.
Speaking of not having talent, I'm here.
I was going to say,
Tom, come
talking
on.
talking about talent. I mean, you got a ton of talent, and we're here to talk specifically about an event that you're going to be taking part in, and it's called the Fox Valley Veterans Council Prohibition Ball 2026. You are the comedian that will be performing. Tell us about the event. You are a combat vet. Tell us about this event and how you became involved in it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. It's going to be on Saturday, March 7th, coming up at Venue 404 in Oshkosh. They're VIP tickets. You can do meet and greet and general admission tickets. But it's going to be a fun event. I got involved because my friend James P. Connolly was the comedian last year. And he's a Marine Corps veteran, or whatever it is they say Marines are. What is it? Marines don't die. Okay. They just multiply. Babies, kids. I don't know. I don't remember. But he asked me to do this. And Tim Cody, who's in charge over there at the Fox Valley Veterans group, he's a former 82nd Airborne guy. Mm-hmm. And I was a paratrooper. So I am, I got love for my fellow paratroopers. So I said, yeah, I will absolutely do it as long as you pay me $1 more than you paid the Marine. And they agree to that.
That's excellent. I remember I interviewed James last year and Tim. They're both great guys. And it's just such a great event. When you do a gig like this, Tom, as a comedian and also a veteran, how much of your material is geared towards veterans or the clientele you have on that particular night at Venue 404?
Well, anytime I do stand up, whether it's a gig like this or at a comedy club or at the Laugh Factory or you know, wherever I happen to be performing, I just opened for Brad Williams, my buddy Brad Williams, for like a week in the Midwest. And it's very much like being a soldier. I go in and I recon the area. I look at, I don't want to say the enemy because the audience is never the enemy, but I look at the target. Well,
that's optimistic.
It depends. I've played some clubs, in the Midwest where like, all right, I'm definitely probably going to get stabbed on the way out. But I will go in and I will look at the audience. And if I'm not the first comedian, I'll watch the first comic and go, all right, what kind of worked? And I'll kind of get a lay of the land, figure out what they're laughing at. But in this case, I'm the only comedian. So I'll come in guns a-blazing. Not literally. Sorry, that was probably a bad analogy.
You're going to literally kill.
My aim material. Yeah. Oh, God. Can I tell you, as a comedian and a combat veteran, the words I say on the phone definitely have the FBI flag in my phone calls. Like, I say kill and bomb way too often for anybody to be, not listening to that. But yeah, I'll go in and I'll come out with my A material and I'll feel my way around and see what everybody's laughing at, and being a comic is very much like being a soldier, somebody in the military. Like, you have your bag of tricks or toys, or in the case of, I guess, soldiers, like, you have your breaching weapon, you got your mortar, you got your bazooka. Like, what's gonna work in this particular situation? And for comedy, it's like, okay, do I do crowd work? Do I do military jokes? Do I do jokes about being a nerd? Do I do jokes about being divorced? Whatever. It's you really much, very much just like kind of look at the audience and go, what's going to work? And, hopefully you don't crash and burn.
I love when we would do shows around like where I live, and comics from out of town would be like, what's the name of the big grocery store around here? I'm like, pick and save. And they're like, thank you. And then later they make a joke where they say pick and save, and everyone goes, oh my gosh, he knows the places we go get groceries at. And they're doing like their recon work. They go walk around so they can find some local references for that first like 2 minutes of their set where they can ingratiate themselves into the audience. And I have to imagine that it's probably not to you, maybe use military parlance, a double-edged sword where you can say, well, I'm a vet, they're a vet, I can do what I want. But they might be like, no, make us laugh. We would bring the jokes. You can't just be all, because there's gonna be non-vets there too, and you want to make sure you appeal to everybody. But of course, you're gonna have some, whether it's crowd work or actual jokes in there, things that will definitely hit with the vets that will be different and more more fun too.
Yeah, I've always said about my career, if I can make a civilian who has never been in combat laugh about a joke about me being in Iraq, or make a grunt who has no idea what it is like being a cat dad laugh at the same stuff, then I'm doing my job, because at the end of the day, everyone laughs at the same thing. It's a matter of getting them there. You know, when I was in the Army, I worked for a division of Army Special Operations called the Civil Affairs and Psychological Operations Command. And our job was to get the civilian population to work with the military, whether it was conventional military or special operators, and being able to build that bridge between two groups that have seemingly nothing in common, really helped with my comedy career. Because you walk into an audience, and if all you do is talk about Star Trek, and trust me, I would love to just talk about Star Trek for 45 minutes, and everybody in the audience is a Star Wars fan, well, you're not going to do well. No, so being able to jive with the audience, like you said, like a local reference. I love going to a city early and then going to check out. You know what Slash does? He loves going to meet Slash from Guns N' Roses. I say it like he's
buddy. We're not on a first name basis.
Yeah. He likes to go to cities and go to like museums. And like feel the city. I, being a former fat kid, love to go eat whatever that city is known for. That's my thing. It's either that or hockey. Like if there's a hockey game, I'll fly in the day before or the day after and go to the game. If there's not, like I'll go to whatever city. And I'm going to be in Wisconsin. Trust me, I'm going to bring a lot of Lactaid because this fat kid loves cheese. And
you could go for the bratwurst, Tom. You could go that route, but our guest,
cheese-filled bratwurst.
Oh dear, you might not make it back to California. Our guest is Tom Tran, the very funny Tom Tran, who is also a rocker, a combat veteran. He is performing at the Fox Valley Veterans Prohibition Ball 2026. Such a great event for veterans. You can find more information at www.foxvalleyveterans.org/ball. Tom, how did you get started? Like you said, you were in the Army for years. You've seen combat. Were you doing stand up before you were in the Army, or is that something you kind of jumped into when you got home? Okay.
I was very not funny when I was in the Army. You want the funny answer or the real answer?
A funny first, please.
Yeah.
I blame Robin Williams for every career decision I have made. I joined the Army because of Good Morning Vietnam, and I became a cop because of Patch Adams. But I mean, that's part of the story, and it's part of the real story. But the real answer is I came home from Iraq. I'd been shot my fourth day, as a matter of fact. I got shot in combat my fourth day in Iraq. I stayed my entire 12-month deployment. My roommate and soldier was KIA on a mission right before we came home. So I came back in a really bad way. And I did all the things that a lot of us do when we come home and we're having trouble processing combat and life after it. And I had a heart attack when I was like 26.
Oh my goodness.
This is not the funny version, like, right? I just want to clarify.
No, this is the very real version.
Crazy.
You know, my doctor was like, you got to, can't say what he actually said because he said a swear word, but he said, you have to relax. He said, you have to blank relax.
Yeah.
And he said, you have to find something you love again, because it was, you know, I'd spent my entire early 20s in the Army and the last 12 months in combat. And then, you know, that combat doesn't end when you come home. And now you're dealing with family and school and life and kids and all this stuff. And I got real out of shape. I fell into all the traps. And he's like, you have to relax or you're gonna die of a heart attack before you're 30. And I was 26 when this happened. And I tried to get back into music. I tried to, you know, I had a band, but it turns out I don't like working with people. And musicians, we're not the most awesome people to work with. So I turned to comedy, and you know, it's a thing that I can do on stage by myself, and I have a ton of fun doing it, and it heals my soul and it heals the people that I'm talking to. So So that's how I got into it.
It sounds like the perfect fit for an event like this, too, because we always talk so much in this country about how we need to help vets, how we not just about coming home, but how getting them back into the world and finding passions after they've left a life that is 24/7, 365. This mission, your mission, whatever, even if you're in combat or not, you are working for the military. I have friends who are in the military and they've described what it's like coming out. And yeah, I can only imagine that. Finding something to take your mind off it or just developing a passion has got to be so integral to, I don't know how to say it without maybe sounding disrespectful, but like coming back to a normal world, which I apologize for saying that if that's not correct, but it's just, you know, putting yourself back into a place of fitting into the world outside the military. I can't even imagine that, but it seems like you found your path for right now, at least with music and with comedy.
Yeah, I mean, I say all the time, the most real scene of that movie, The Hurt Locker, is when Jeremy Renner is looking for cereal in an endless aisle of cereal. Like, so yeah, trying to find a normal life is very correct.
We're going to speak more with Tom Tran. He is a comedian. He is performing at the Fox Valley Veterans Council Prohibition Ball 2026. We'll have that information in our show notes. But more with Tom here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach. The other guy is Pete Schwabba. We are here on the Civic Media Network. You are a part of it. We're happy you are here. We are talking to comedian, combat vet, former fat kid, nerd, all the good things, Mr. Tom Tran, about the event he will be performing at on March the 7th, which is the Fox Valley Veterans Council Prohibition Ball 2026. We will have information in the show notes how you can get in touch with them, get tickets, or donate for the event. Tom, I know that Pete had some questions regarding an acting career as well, so I'm going to let Pete take over from this point on.
Yeah, and I just want to say shout out to Tim Cody because he set this up and allowed us to meet you, Tom, and learn about your service. And my goodness, thank you for all of that. I don't think I said that to you initially, so thank you so much for your service and what you've been through. And thank you also for how you turned it around because now you make us laugh, and that's pretty cool too. But in addition to you bringing laughter, you're also an actor. You were on one of my favorite shows, cop shows, is Bosch. And I like Bosch Legacy, too. I've watched them all. My wife and I binge watched the last season of Bosch in one night. It was insanity. I couldn't see for 3 days after that. But it's a great show. What was your experience like on Bosch Legacy?
It was funny because, and no spoilers, but something happened to me on the show that precipitated me not coming back. And I remember I worked on the radio at the time here in Los Angeles, and I walked up into my studio and the day after the episode aired, and one of the program directors from one of the other stations in the cluster goes, "I just watched Bosch Legacy, and I was so worried when that happened to you." And I had to walk downstairs and go, "You know, it's a TV show, right? I also filmed that a year ago, and I've been here every day. You see me. I'm fine." But that show was fun. It was really great. I loved it particularly because I do a lot of like network TV stuff. And, you know, network TV, it's clean, it's family friendly, blah, blah, blah. And I remember getting the script for Bosch Legacy. And I dropped the F-bomb so many times.
Sweet.
I was walking around doing the script in my house over and over again. My girlfriend's like, "Why do you keep reading that script?" I'm like, "Do you know how many times I get to swear in this show? I'm going to learn the script backwards and forwards." And it was super fun. And I remember hanging out with Titus, who plays Harry Bosch on the show. Turns out we know some of the same people because this industry is very small. And so we shoot the episode where my character is no longer in the show. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
You kind of have.
And then I drive home. Yeah, well, all right. So, all right. If you haven't watched the episode, it came out 2 years ago. I got shot in the head. And I'm driving home, and I've got the makeup on my forehead of the, you know, the gunshot in my head. And I pull into my house, and my agent calls and goes, they need you back for another episode. And I literally went, did they read the script? Do they know what just happened to me? Like, how are they going to? And he says, wow. Apparently you made somebody important laugh. I was like, yeah, Titus, who is the star and the executive producer. So I was just being a comedian, not really. I was just being me in the back of, you know, we were in holding, and I made him laugh. And I guess he called somebody and was like, yeah, bring him back for another episode. I was like,
oh man. Cool.
Yeah. Bosch raises from the dead.
It's an open casket.
The makeup girl. Yeah, the makeup girl was like, were you surprised when you came back? I'm like, yeah, considering what happened to me last episode.
That's really, really funny. Now, before we get out of here, this is, I'll a peek behind the curtain. This is a pre-recorded interview we're doing right now, but we are talking to you in your apartment in Los Angeles, and you are surrounded by a bunch of things, including guitars, memorabilia, nerd memorabilia. But you say you have two pictures of B. Arthur on your mantle. Why is that?
Yes. So if you didn't know, B. Arthur, the best Golden Girl, is she is a former Marine, and I'm a huge Van Halen fan, Greg, mm-hmm. as you noticed.
Yes.
And for anybody who doesn't know, Van Halen had a clause in their contract back in the 80s that said in their dressing room, they wanted a bowl of M&Ms with no brown M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And if they walked into a dressing room and there were M&Ms in their brown M&Ms in that bowl, they knew that the promoter didn't read the contract and they would trash the room. And the idea was, well, they were just being divas. The real reason for that is that they would bury that in the middle of their tour rider because they had such an intricate stage setup with so many lights and power requirements and sound mm-hmm. and audio and that stuff, that it was really important that the promoter read the contract. And they knew that if they saw brown M&Ms, the promoter didn't read the contract. And being a big Van Halen fan, I am also a diva. So I, in my contract and my rider, require a bowl of only green M&Ms and a picture of B. Arthur, 10 minutes of quiet, and no questions.
You sound so really difficult.
If I show up in Oshkosh
no
and there's not a photo
questions.
Of B. Arthur, there's That's not a photo great. Of B. Arthur, Tim has failed.
Hey, Tom, before we let you go, we only have about a minute and a half or so. Tell us about your new executive produced show coming out called GIs of Comedy, if you can, in just a few seconds.
Yeah, the GIs of Comedy is actually a group I created. We're all combat veterans of the United States military, different branches. There's like a dozen of us. And a few years ago, we shot this special. It was supposed to be for Comedy Central, but, you know, they don't show comedy anymore. So I'm still in the editing process, and I've got to talk to my partners about where this wants to live. But yeah, we shot a special. I produced it, got two of the original GIs on it, and hopefully that'll come out somewhere in the next couple of years.
Wonderful. Well, Tom, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you sharing your time and sharing information on this event. Again, it's going to be the Fox Valley Veterans Council Prohibition Ball 2026 on March the 7th. We'll have all the information in the show notes. And again, echo what Pete said, thank you so much for your service and being here tonight. Tom Tran has been our guest. He's a comedian, nerd, combat veteran, former fat kid, cat dad, all the things. Check him out. And thank you so much. Come on back. We'll have another talk about more music, more comedy. It's great. Have a great night, sir.
Knock him dead.
Yeah. Next time I'll tell you about when my band played for William Shatner.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thanks. Now you got to come back like next week. All right. When we come back, we'll be talking to Martin Alvarado from the Madison Public Library about their summer picks or their spring picks.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.